So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. It's a very familiar passage. We won't read the whole chapter. We're just going to be reading from verses 24 to 29. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 29. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he should destroy the firstborn should touch them. Destroyer of the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, and with the Egyptians assaying to do so, were drowned. I'm sure the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his word. That's a setup. We will not really look back at this passage for the message this morning, but as I go along, I think you'll see my point. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us to live in a land where we still can gather together and discuss God's word in public. And we can talk about the wonderfulness of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that this message would be a blessing to those who hear it, as well as the speaker. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, this passage obviously is about Moses. Now, Moses always was a favorite of mine. He always fascinated me when I was younger. And one of the reasons why I was always fascinated by Moses is that he got his name. He got his name mentioned, and only not the other prophets. How many times have you heard Moses and the prophets? Right? Moses and the prophets. But he was Moses. And then they were the prophets. And there's a reason for that. Okay? And some of the things that we were just reading about kind of touch on that. We all know the story of Moses. You know, he was born in Egypt, and while the children of Israel were in captivity, and how his mother saved him by putting him into the water, and Pharaoh's daughter came along and rescued him and raised him up, and how eventually he, as an adult, took the side of an Israeli and killed an Egyptian and had to flee the city. And he did a lot of stuff when we think about it. We're going to talk about it. He dealt with Pharaoh. He was God's instrument in a duel with Pharaoh, back and forth. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He crossed the Red Sea. He led the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness and eventually got them to the promised land. That's why he's mentioned in the Hall of Fame. He also has credit for writing the first five books of the Bible. Now, I know that that's from God. Because if you know the history of Moses, he didn't start writing at least until he was 80 years old. And five books, long books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He was the writer through God's inspiration of the law that the children of Israel lived by. He was a really great patriarch to the Jewish people. But let's take a little closer look at Brother Moses. Exodus chapter 3. Now, this conversation that I'm about to run through starts a little bit after Moses was shepherding the sheep. He saw the burning bush. He went over to see what was going on. You guys know this story, right? You know, okay. He wanted to know what was going on, and the Lord said to him, take those sandals off your feet because you're standing on holy ground, and et cetera, et cetera. And then the Lord told Moses, this is what I want you to do. I have seen how my people are being mistreated in Egypt. I have heard their cry. And I want you to go and lead them out of Egypt. Now, it's very interesting because at that time, Moses wasn't even in Egypt. He was way away from Egypt. So Moses then had to leave where he was and go back to Egypt to get control of the situation before taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. So we have a conversation. The Lord tells him, this is what I want you to do. And this is Moses' first reply. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He literally was saying, are you kidding me? Who am I? I'm a shepherd here. I'm supposed to go to Egypt and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And God said, certainly I will be with you. That was God's answer to that complaint. Now, a couple of things that I read, they have a list of the complaints that Moses had while he was to God, while he was going through the leadership of Egypt. We're not going to go through, they say there were 11 to 12. We're not going to go through 11 complaints. Okay, but that was the first one. So then, he says to God, well, I hear you, but when I get to Egypt, I'm just supposed to just walk up to the folks and say, look, you guys get ready to leave. I'm taking you out. They're going to say to me, who sent me? Who sent me? So what am I supposed to say to that? And God's answer was, I am that I am. He said, tell them that I am has sent you. Go back to the first response. Surely I will be with you. Because I am reminding who God is. That's a good reminder for us as Christians. Because I think a lot of times we forget the God that we serve and who he is. So then Moses, in 4 and verse 1, Moses answers, and he has another complaint here. He says, but if I tell them that, this is chapter 4, verse 1, but behold, they will not believe nor hearken unto me, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. I like this answer. This is one of my favorite answers. Because the Lord says, what is that in your hand? Okay? What is that in your hand? What did he have in his hand? He had a stick in his hand. And the Lord showed him how that stick, when God comes into the picture,
become so much more than a stick. Moses threw the stick down as commanded by the Lord, and it became a serpent. And Moses had to run away. And the Lord told him, grab him by his tail, and he grabbed him by his tail, and he became a stick. What do you have? Remember that one. Exodus 4 and 10. The next complaint. You know, I got to tell you, I am an old educator. I'm an ex-assistant principal. And I cannot tell you, when I am dealing with wayward teachers, the number of excuses I get. You don't understand those kids. You don't know what it's like to stand up in front of them. What am I supposed to do? This is what Moses is doing to God. He's saying, who am I? Well, if I go, who's sending me? They won't believe me. And now he says to him in verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And you know what God said to him? I know that. I made you. That was his reply. Look at it. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord, made you? So you're not telling me anything that I don't know. And I knew that when I sent you when I told you to go the first time. And I knew that when I told you to go the second time. And I knew that when I told you to go the third time, and I know that now. And I'm telling you to go. The Lord has told him to go. Then he says, and he's getting real bold now. In verse 13, he says, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of him whom thou wilt send. The interpretation of that is send somebody else. Okay? And the Lord answered him. Well, the Lord got angry about that. The Bible says that. God does get angry. So be careful. And he says, you know what? Since you're going to be so stubborn about this task that I'm giving you, and you're going to be so obstinate, and I know, it says, whether you realize it or not, you're going to do it, I'm going to send your brother Aaron to help you. He says, I'm going to send Aaron. You're going to meet Aaron. Aaron speaks well. He has a good tongue. So that when you meet Aaron, he's going to be glad to meet you. And then you and Aaron are going to go together to go see Pharaoh. But you're going. Aaron's going to go with you, but you're going. Exodus 5 and 20. And the children of Israel now, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto him, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword to their hand to slay us. The children of Israel were complaining about what Moses was doing as he was attempting to do the will of God. He came back to the Lord and he said, Lord, where hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak to thy in thy name, he hath done evil to the people, neither hast thou delivered the people at all. He said, Lord, I'm getting pushback. I'm trying to help these people, and they're not, not only are they not supporting me, they're attacking me. Exodus 6 and 12. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me.
How then shall Pharaoh hear me
when I am speaking with uncircumcised lips?
His posture really hasn't changed much. He is saying, Lord, I told you all the things that, you know, that were standing in front of us. And not only was it, am I right about that? He said, the people are not listening to me. The Israelites are not listening to me. And now you expect me to go talk to Pharaoh? They're not listening to me. And what the Lord told him is, I've commissioned you already. Just so you know, you are still commissioned. I have put you in charge. Me, the I am. Now, I want you to notice some things about these complaints and God's answers. First of all, Moses never had to search for God to offer his complaint. God was right there. Amen? He didn't have to look for God. He didn't have to go say, well, okay, let me go back to the wilderness, go back to the burning bush. God was right there. And if you take God's answer to every single one of these 6 and 7 complaints that I have had, what God's answer is, I'm here. I got you. I sent you. I am that I am, and I am sending you. So let's make a long story short. Moses began to follow what God had done, and like I said, he got into a duel with Pharaoh, with the locusts and the blood in the water and the frogs and back and forth, and until the end, Pharaoh is fighting him. Until the angel of death shows up. And the Lord sends the angel of death. He tells Moses how to protect the people. People do what they're supposed to do. The angel of death wipes out the firstborn of Egypt. To even the cattle, the animals. Don't mess with God. Yeah, just don't mess with God. And finally, Pharaoh says, enough is enough. Get out of here. As a matter of fact, take some of the gold and from your owners and from the people so you can have something to survive you along the way. You guys need to go. You got to go. So the children of Israel packed up and headed out. And right after they left, Pharaoh said, what am I doing? I'm sending away all my slaves. Who's going to do the work? Who's going to run my bath? Who's going to take care of my children, etc.? So he gathers up his army and he pursues the children of Israel to the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And the one thing I want you to notice is the change in Moses' attitude. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Israel, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to should die in the wilderness. Moses did not go to the Lord with this complaint. I want you to notice what he said. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and he will show you today. You see, it goes to show you, you can teach an old dog new tricks. Okay, his mindset has changed from whining and complaining about the situation to relying on God.
He said, folks, I got you here. The Lord has you. And we know the story. We know the story. Moses lifted up his arms and the Red Sea parted. And the children of Israel, you know what's interesting, it says, because the Bible is very precise. The children, they didn't go over on muddy land. The sand was not wet. Because you ever try walking through sand and mud, it's very difficult. They went over on dry land. Amen? They went over on dry land. They went through it and they went over on dry land. Probably was raising up a whole bunch of dust. And then the Egyptians came along and said, okay, they think they're getting away. We're going right behind them. And they ran, and Moses just said, Lord, take care. And the Lord closed up the sea. And we know the story. We serve a great and awesome God. But here's the lesson. I know that there are people in this room, on radio, on Zoom, whom the Lord has been trying to get you to do something for him for the longest time. And you've been throwing up all kinds of excuses. I got to work. My feet hurt. I got to go home and take care of the kids. I got to do this. I can't really take the time to do all of this. The Lord has work to do in this assembly. Let me say it again. The Lord has work to be done in this assembly. And the Lord is expecting the people of this assembly to do the work. So if you find yourself in a circumstance where you are being asked, or your heart is telling you that maybe I should do this, the leading of the Holy Spirit, or you have a desire to get involved in something, but you can come up with a lame excuse, you need to follow the example of Moses and get some new tricks. You see, because God has worked. Do you realize that on Saturday mornings, from Saturday morning at 10 o'clock until about 8 o'clock on Saturday evening, about anywhere between 80 and 100 young people come through this church? 80 to 100 young people come through this church. Do you realize that if year by year we could just save 10 of those 100, 10%, in 5 years, we'd have 50 new members. Praise the Lord. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Moses didn't change from when Lord showed him the burning bush until when he closed it. Moses was the same guy. He didn't have any extra powers. He wasn't working out at the gym and getting stronger. All Moses learned to do was put his faith in God. So if you have something that the Lord is asking you to do, if the Lord is asking, even if it's a small thing, don't make excuses. Do what God is asking you to do so that the work can get done. Speaking to each and every one of you individually. Now, I get to speak to the church. I have been on the building committee for the last 10 years. And I can tell you, I have heard so many excuses and complaints. Some of them, at times, I actually thought about whether they were accurate or not. But we've heard them. It's too much money. We can't afford it. The Lord says, what's in your hand? He said, We're losing members. Our membership is getting older. Why are we bothering to make space when our numbers are getting smaller? I don't even put anybody in the spot, but hello, Lacatine family. Hello, Lawrence family. Hello, Sister Thomas and her family. Hello, Sister Crystal and her two boys. Last 3 years in this assembly, we need to make room. We need to make room. We don't know how to do it. We're not experts at managing and conducting and building and controlling and making all those decisions. The Lord said, certainly I have sent you and I will be with you. We've gone through a ton of problems. The pandemic. Financing, administration. Saints, in my mind, the Lord has taken us out of Egypt. That's where we are with this building program. I don't know if we got through the Red Sea yet, but the Lord has taken us out of Egypt. We are looking at the plans. We are working with the city. We have a manager. We are hoping to break ground sometime this year. And we need to take and drop the old Moses attitude and pick up the new Moses attitude. We need to get ready. We need to get ready. We need to throw whatever circumstances, whatever prayers, whatever support that we can muster as an assembly. I will never tell you how much and what to give because the Lord knows. But you know also. We need, now is the time to step forward and get this work done. Saints, I have heard saints say, I'm not giving anything until I see the ground broke. So some of y'all heard that too, right? That's not having faith in God. That's not having faith in God. Having faith in God is go ahead and stepping forward without seeing the ground broken. Step forward. Let's go. Let's go. Now, I've been talking about Moses and the members of this assembly and this church in general. But what I want you to understand is that in every instance, in every circumstance that I've been talking about, I am guaranteeing, not me, that God is with you. God is with you. Now, I don't know. There may be someone in this assembly right now, or on Zoom, or on the telephone, who does not have that position, as my brother prayed about so eloquently and read about so early this morning, that they are not heirs and joint heirs in Christ. You are not yet a child of God. But wouldn't it be great to know at some point in time that you have a God who has your back 120%, like how he had Moses' back, like how he had the children of Israel's back, like how he has Good Tidings back. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God would love to have your back. But you've turned your back on him. God needs you to turn around, face him, and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need the salvation that your son came to purchase for me. I need your salvation. I am sorry. Accept me as your child. And then he'll have your back. An old time preacher once told me, when you finish talking, you need to stop. So, I am finished. I am ending it with a plea that if there's anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you have the opportunity to come. I'm not even going to do an altar call. You don't have to stand up. You can come and see me or any of the gentlemen in the front. If you came with someone, ask that person who you can talk to, and there is someone in this room who will be able to sit down with you and very quickly from the Word of God show you how you can move from someone who is out there floating around to someone whose God has your back. Amen. Let it be so. Let us pray. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of the goodness that is in your word. We ask that you would just let us be hearers, and not only hearers, but doers of your word. That your word would become part of our lives. That your word would lead us in each and every decision that we make. And that we can say at the end of the day, it is good to be a child of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And the Lord's word has been delivered. The question is, what about us? Anybody here who doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior, please come to the front. There, we can have people here in seconds to just share with you how you can know Him for sure as your Savior and be led by Him to a life of victory. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybe, to a life of victory. That can be yours today, even as it was mine and my dear brother and so many others here. And we can be sure. Father, we do thank you, O God, for your messenger. We thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit, who is able to lead and guide us, O Father, to a life everlasting through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, O God, if there's anybody here with doubts, anybody here with fear, they can understand, O God, that you'll watch their back, that you'll take care of them, you will lead them to a life everlasting. O God, we do thank you, O God, for the activities that are about to come. We think of the various Sunday school classes, etc. We ask for your guidance through all these, in Jesus' sake. Amen.